Once again, let me welcome all of you present here for the commemoration of All Souls. Every priest has a very special part of his ministry, his favorite ministry. So there are priests who love to do weddings. There are priests who love to visit the sick. There are priests whose passion is preaching. And then there are priests who love to teach. And that is the most favorite part of their ministry. I am among those priests whose favorite ministry is funerals. Just yesterday, I had a wedding. And just before the wedding, I got this emergency call to go to Walnut Creek and take care of somebody who is on the last days. Don Hammond and his wife Ginny. Ginny is perhaps her last day today. And if I had the option of going for a wedding or to take care of someone who's dying, I would clearly leave the wedding to another priest and I would go to take care of someone who was dying. I've had about 40 funerals in this parish the last year. And if I add the funerals I had at St. Helen Parish and just in funeral homes, I can easily say that I've had a funeral a week. I had funeral services for the elderly and young people. People I know well and those that I did not. Those that died of natural causes and even somebody who took their own life. I had funerals of those who believed and those who've given up their faith. And last year I even buried a 3-month-old baby. And there's one thing that's common to all these funerals. Every funeral that I celebrated for me was an experience of God. I can honestly say that in every one of these funerals, I encountered Christ. It's not that the other parts of my ministry are not divine encounters, but at a funeral, I cannot but confront and stand face to face with a God who loves us beyond death. So funerals is my favorite ministry. Perhaps, though, today I should begin with you. In the last year, many of you present here buried someone you love very deeply. A father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a brother or a sister, a son or a daughter. For that matter, all of us present here at some point has buried someone we love deeply. And it hurts, darn it, it hurts. Many of you know how deeply I was connected to some of the people you buried. And it's not easy for me to bury them as well. Death hurts. I'm yet to bury my parents, but even the thought of having to say the funeral mass for my mother or my father, I don't think I can get beyond that. Death hurts. But as I said, in the most paradoxical way, death also reveals God. So today, even though we are here to remember the loved one that we have buried, It is not death we celebrate. We are here to celebrate the God who leads our loved one beyond death into eternity. And as today's scripture will tell us, it's only possible because of this unimaginable, unfathomable, unconditional love of God. So I want to talk today about death in my 3 points. I'm going to talk about death, first of all, as the moment of life. I want to talk about death as the moment of grace. And I want to talk about death as the moment of salvation. So first, let me talk about death as a moment of life. Folks, one of the starkest realities of life, I think, is standing in front of the casket or simply the dead body of someone that we love so much. Isn't it? As husbands and wives and as parents and or as children, to finally see the person that we loved lying lifeless in front of us. It's one of the hardest things. And perhaps memories come to our minds of eating with them, of playing with them, of growing up with them, them nurturing us or we taking care of them, memories, perhaps praying with them, loving, sometimes even fighting with them. These memories come to our mind. Recently, I had the experience of what I call touching death. I was called to hospice to give the last sacraments to somebody. And when I went there, I could feel the warmth of the body while I anointed this body, but when I made the sign of the cross and I touched the person's chest, I knew the person was actually not alive. It's the most bizarre experience I've had when I actually anointed somebody, perhaps just moments after their death, and I call it, I touched death, and there's something bizarre about it. And I remember at that moment also becoming very aware of how alive I was, even though it was at 10:30 at night and I was really tired. But compared to this person lying now in front of me, I felt so alive. And this is where I think today's first reading comes in, where, you know, we experience lifelessness and life at the same time. God has something beautiful to say about that moment. Here is what today's first reading says. The souls of the just are in the hands of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead. So I'm standing there and I look at these people, or you've looked at the people that you loved, and you see that they are lifeless. They seemed in the view of the fallen foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. So here's the paradox. As we stand, or as we stood in front of the lifeless body of somebody that died, the truth is, because of God, they are the ones who are alive. We are the ones who are dead. We are the ones who still are dead to sin. But the person who in faith has died, actually, scripture tells us, they are fine. They are in peace. No torment shall touch them. So here is a thought for you, especially those of you who have buried somebody in the last week, the last year. Our loved ones are now as alive as God. Call your loved one by name just now in your mind. You know, Alice or John, or they are as alive as God is. And we are the ones who still have to get there. Someday we will. We think we're alive and they are dead, they're alive, and we are the ones who still need to experience God's life. For us who believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, death is the moment of life. It's not eternal. Death is not eternal. Death is the moment of life. Secondly, death is the moment of grace. Today's second reading has this passage, which is my all-time favorite passage. And here is what St. Paul says: God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, this is grace. This is precisely the meaning of grace. That we are freely given what we do not deserve, or we ever imagined we would deserve. So sinners, they're supposed to die in eternity. But surprise of all surprises, because of the death and resurrection of Christ, death is not an eternal damnation. Death becomes the moment, that moment of grace, where death is transformed into life, and we did not deserve it. So St. Paul does not say to us that God died for those who are righteous and those who are righteous will find themselves in God's presence. No, Paul says Christ died for us all. Even those who are not righteous, even the sinners, Christ died. This is free grace. At death, that grace becomes ours. God loves us beyond sin and death. So here is something that I really want to stress, especially with those of you who struggle with our loved ones and where they might be. People ask me, especially in the one case where I know that this person took his own life, the biggest question in the family's mind was, Father, do you think they are in heaven? If today's passage is worth anything, Christ died for us no matter what. So what am I going to say to them? I said to them, God's love is greater than anything else we can ever put in front of God. And so yes, even somebody who has taken their own life out of God knows what reason, they have reason to hope that God's love is greater than their sin or their actions. That's the love of God. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. So if you're ever concerned about the circumstances of the death of someone you love, and you're wondering where my loved one is, have no doubt that they are in peace. Thirdly, death is the moment of salvation. Perhaps all of us experience this, but the most permanent and paralyzing effect of death is absence. Somebody who has died, we can't call them anymore, we can't wake up with them anymore, we can't celebrate their birthdays anymore, they're not with us on our holidays anymore. The most paralyzing effect of death is absence. Isn't that not why we say that we lost somebody? In death, do we not lose some, or do we? Today's gospel reading, Jesus says, and this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what has been given to me. The entire creation belongs to Christ. Every person belongs to Christ. And Jesus says, this is my Father's will, that not one person should be lost. Not one person should be lost. What does it say about God? This is about God, that our God is a God who's eager to save. How many times have you heard about God who is waiting to condemn and send people to hell? How many times have you heard that? But that's not the picture that Jesus gives. God's will is that God's will is that everyone who's been given to Jesus should be saved. How eager is God to save us? The cross tells us how eager God is to save us. God would send his own son and die and absorb the effects of our death so that we can live forever. So here's the greatest truth of Christianity. It is this: that those that have died are not lost, rather that God has saved them for eternity. Saved them for us. And one day, we shall stand in the presence of the same eternal God, because we too would have been saved by that cross, by the God who is eager to save us. And so how comforting is this thought? That when our loved one died, that's when they really became alive. That when they died, that was their moment of grace. And thirdly, that our loved ones are not lost, but they are saved for eternity. And where are they today? I think they're with us as we celebrate this Eucharist. They are with us in our hearts and in our spirits as they inspire us and continue to help us. They pray for us as we pray for them. This is our faith. So we remember all that have died with hope, because they have been given life and grace and salvation by the love of God. May today's scripture be of immense comfort to all of you and to all of us. And may the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.